2 Kings 13, I want to think about this business of Elisha putting his hands on the hands of Joash and shooting the arrows. So he says to the king of Israel, verse 15, take bow and arrows. And you notice he says bow and arrows because God was not going to use horses and chariots because they were forbidden to Israel. And he says to the king of Israel, put your hand upon the bow. He put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. So the hand in Hebrew thought refers to power and strength. And so the idea is that God's hand is upon the hand of Joash. His power was upon Joash. And Joash is expected to perceive this. And we're going to see that he doesn't perceive things as he should have done. He said, open the window toward the east, that is towards Syria. Elisha said, shoot. And he shot, and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. You shall smite the Syrians in Aphek till you have consumed them. Well, Aphek was the very place where Syria had had victory against Israel in the past. That's in 1 Kings 20. And God had actually given the Syrians victory, not because they were spiritual people, but he gave them victory, and now he was willing to give Israel victory. Not that Israel at this point were spiritual either. The point is, I think, that God had tested Israel by defeat at the hands of the Syrians, and now he is trying to desperately teach them by the hand of victory, by through victory, trying to teach them. They hadn't learnt through the experience of defeat, so now he's trying to teach them through victory. And so it can go in life. God blesses people in their lives, and that blessing may be a source of him testing them. He may give them lack of things and inadequacy and other things of a negative nature, and that is also to test them. The point is that God is working through all these experiences, positive and negative, as people would see it in a secular way, in order by all means to try to teach us. Well, he says, you're going to smite the Syrians in Aphek. He's going to reverse the defeat there until you have consumed them. It sounds like you're definitely going to do this. When you come to verse 19, you see the king is told to smite upon the ground, and he hits three times with the arrow, and the man of God's angry with him and says, you should have smitten 5 or 6 times, then you had smitten Syria until you had consumed them. But as it is, you're only going to smite Syria 3 times. You're not going to consume them. But in verse 17, Joash is told, you will smite the Syrians until you have consumed them. This was, however, conditional, although no condition is stated at the time. This is the sort of thing you very often see in the Bible, that a statement is made which is in fact conditional, but the conditions aren't stated. For example, in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed. Well, in 40 days Nineveh was not destroyed because they repented. And although there is no condition directly attached that, you know, come on guys, repent and then it won't happen, that is not said to them. Yet, all the same, they do repent and God makes an exception and it doesn't happen. So you see here the whole tragedy, I think, of God's working with men, that he sets up so much potential. Even for pretty unspiritual people like Joash and Israel, and yet they fail to use that potential, but it is there. This explains, I think, the prophecies in Ezekiel 40 to 48 about the temple. People say, so therefore this is going to happen in all its literal detail, that this is going to happen in the future. For example, the priests mustn't marry divorced women, so what, there's going to be divorce in the kingdom or whatever. Now, I don't think so. This is another example of this shall happen, but there are conditions. And if those conditions aren't met, it won't happen. So it is with all the assurances that we are given of salvation, that these assurances do require us to say yes to them. And yet God is eager, as you see here, he's eager to give us that victory. So The king is intended to understand that the arrow represents the Lord's deliverance. Elisha has said to him in 17, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. Now he gives him the arrows and says, now smite upon the ground with them. And the ground there is the word Eretz for the land. If it meant the soil, I think a different word would have been used. But the idea is, you shall smite the land, and you shall consume opposition to you off from the whole land promised to Abraham. But he doesn't particularly want to understand that. And so because he's not spiritually perceptive, he's only given the three victories. And he does not succeed in consuming Syria, as he potentially could have done. And in fact, the Syrians return and again abuse Israel later on. So much was lost because one man was not spiritually perceptive. And you may think this is rather tough on Joash. All right, he didn't get it. Well, yeah, it depends, as I say, to what level you are spiritually perceptive and to what degree you wish to be spiritually ambitious. I'll give you a similar example in the life of Peter. He's told by Jesus that basically he is going to die, glorifying him. And he's told there is going to come a time when other people will bind your shoes and your clothes on you and will lead you to a place where you don't want to go. In other words, to death. A bit later, Peter's in prison and the angel comes in the middle of the night and says, Peter, arise. Put on your sandals, put on your clothes, basically says, and I'm going to lead you to freedom. Well, if Peter had remembered the words of Jesus that said, when you die, another person is going to come and bind on your clothes and lead you to a place that you would not, that is, to the place of death. If he'd have remembered that, and we don't know if he did or not, then he would have thought, oh, wow, well, this means that my time for death has not come, because there he is thinking, yeah, this is my time to die. That's what it looked like. He was in prison awaiting death, it seemed. And according to whether he perceived that, he would have taken great encouragement. So when folks say, oh, I don't read the Bible, I don't read the Old Testament, it's all boring, I get nothing out of it. Look, persevere. And why I say that is because as the narrative becomes more familiar to you and the text of Scripture becomes more familiar, suddenly things drop into place in life. Something happens and you perceive that, yeah, this is just like what happened to so-and-so, what happened to Joash or whatever. And yeah, it all starts to make sense more. But you've got to persevere. You've got to show God your respect for his word. And so, as it happened, Joash in this case fails. He's not spiritually perceptive. He just sees what's in front of him. And so, therefore, the great potential victory was not given. And so it is tragically in so many lives. But it needn't be like that in our lives.